produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. As we continue our college campus focus week, we have a jam-packed stash of audio for you today. So let's get things started off with Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre, who's calling all stoner voters to get registered and get involved this fall.
Calling all stoner voters, a heads up on this November's marijuana initiatives. This November marks the 10-year anniversary of the last cataclysmic change in American drug policy, the passage of California's Proposition 215, a voter initiative that has effectively come to challenge the federal government's attempt to deny qualified medical patients legal access to whole smoke marijuana and edibles. Today, 11 states have similar medical marijuana laws, with South Dakota likely to become the 12th state this fall, a cannabis cross-section of the country that covers almost 60 million Americans. Due in large part to the unique wording of Proposition 215, however, medical patients and caregivers in California have the most progressive and thereby the most far-reaching medical marijuana protections. Back in 1996, the big question for the general public was, is there such thing as medical marijuana? Today, the question in some California communities is, was my medical marijuana grown organically? Help celebrate the 10th anniversary of state medical marijuana laws and strike new blows for freedom by supporting and or voting for marijuana law reform efforts in your city or state this election season. Colorado citizens will consider a marijuana depenalization initiative. Nevada has a marijuana legalization initiative on the ballot. New Jersey will sponsor hearings on medical marijuana legislation, and South Dakota will vote on medical marijuana initiative. There will also be a legislative effort in 2006 and 2007 to medicalize marijuana in Connecticut, Maine, Illinois, New York, and New Mexico. Decriminalization legislation is being considered in Massachusetts and Texas, and legalization legislation may be reintroduced in Vermont. In Ohio, at Governor Taft's request, the state may now seek to legislatively adopt sentencing reforms for drug offenders, meaning treatment over incarceration. At the federal level, Normal has been working with bipartisan members of Congress to get a federal decriminalization bill introduced that's similar to the decriminalization legislation frequently debated from 1976 to 1982, an effort that will pick up steam after the 2006 midterm elections if progressives make gains in Congress. So don't stand back this election cycle and wonder, what if? Get involved in the politics of pot and help us reform the marijuana laws for good. This is Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C.
Voting is the most effective way any citizen can participate in reform. Groups like Normal, Safer, and SSDP are sponsoring initiatives across the country, doing the footwork to give us all the chance to vote. Next up today, we'll find out from Aaron Dame, National Normal's Outreach Coordinator, about some brand new campus Normal chapters coming online this fall, and just how easy it is to start a campus Normal chapter of your own. Around the country, there are dozens of campus Normal chapters, and we have links to most of them up at normalaudiostash.com this week. Starting up your own campus Normal chapter is a fun and rewarding contribution to ending marijuana prohibition in America. And starting up your own campus chapter is easier than you think. Joining us today is Aaron Dame, Normal's National Outreach Coordinator. She ran Purdue University's Normal and has hands-on experience to lend support to campus chapters. Aaron, welcome to the Audio Stash today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to speak with you again, Aaron. I know there's a lot going on at your desk there this week. Tell us about some of the brand new campus Normal chapters forming up this fall.
Well, actually, over the summer, I started working with five different chapters to kind of get them started, and right now, they're in the process of writing their constitutions, writing their bylaws, and really getting together. And really, right now, I'm focusing on Northwestern, Rider University, Tufts University, Northeastern State University in Oklahoma, and then also Bowling Green State University in Ohio. So I'm really looking forward to working with all of those chapters as they start out.
So these are new Normal chapters, adding to a list of over 30 campus Normal chapters around the country. As someone who ran a campus chapter, how hard is it to start one up?
It's actually extremely, extremely easy. If you get five of your friends, all of you are Normal members, paid Normal members, the $15 student fee, all you have to do is fill out an easy one-page application, write some simple constitutions basically saying how you would like the club to be run, and then you just have to have your school approval, which is just a signed note from them basically sent to us, and that's it. I mean, it's not even very time consuming. It can be done in a day, and you know, it's worth the time.
And once the chapter is going, the meetings are monthly or even more frequent?
Right. That is actually when I ran the Purdue chapter, we had weekly meetings. We had meetings every Tuesday or every Wednesday. And then also when we had events, sometimes that would count as the meeting. So that would be a good way to kind of draw in not only the, you know, our peers, but also community members into our meetings to kind of see how they run.
So when you have a campus chapter up and running, you can go out there to all the campus events, concerts, football games, and set up a table.
Right. Actually, that's one thing that campus chapters really love doing, because like I said, it not only gets them out there with their peers, but it also gets them talking with their community, their family, other family members in the community see them, you know, teachers, everyone, professors see them, and people can really get out the Normal name, because not everyone knows what Normal is, and it's a great conversation starter. If you have a table out there, people see the marijuana leaf, and you know, that leads to conversations, and pretty soon people are thinking about, you know, decriminalization, they're thinking about legalization, and, you know, they're thinking about medical marijuana. So it really opens up the eyes of the community just by having that table out there, you know, at that football game.
Also, Aaron, I know some of the Normal campus chapters exist in areas where there might not be a local city or even state Normal. So a campus Normal chapter can be an easy way to contribute a marijuana law reform message to a greater community.
That's right, that's right. And because starting a campus chapter is so easy, that gets your foot in the door for other activism, you know, and you can see how things work on the inside. And then later in life, if you decide that you want to start a state chapter or a city chapter, then it's easier because you have the background, you have the knowledge, you know, you have the activism experience. So it's a great, great step to, you know, people that want to be activists further on down their lives. You know, it's just an easy thing to kind of get out of the way and then have that knowledge in your database.
And like any campus club, there is a social aspect to it, but these Normal meetings are where real grassroots activism takes place, not 420 sessions.
No, they're not. Actually, most of our clubs have different kinds of meetings. They have administrative meetings, which are mainly the officers, you know, people kind of planning, but they also have educational meetings, and that could be where they bring in the community, bring in their peers, you know, show grass or show busted, you know, show things that have to do with the history of Normal and the history of Prohibition. So there are all different kinds of meetings that you can have and, you know, not only educate but also plan for events, too.
And Aaron, how does National Normal help make material and resources available to Campus Normal coordinators?
We actually supply all of our campus chapters with different things, whether it be T-shirts, banners, different buttons. We set them up with anything that we can, movies, you know, anything that will help them educate others. We give them plenty of brochures and freedom cards so they can pass those out free. And basically, we keep them stocked so they can keep their community stocked.
And this support is one of those things that makes Normal really stand out. So it's that easy. Get five folks who are student Normal members, and you can join online at normal.org, contact you, Aaron Dame, the National Outreach Coordinator, and then get all of the materials and supplies you need to start up a Normal chapter and be active.
Right, and it's something that I correspond with each chapter individually on a regular basis. So it's not... I'm friends with all of the chapter heads. You know, I talk to them, and we communicate, and I know what everyone's doing. So we have a good, close relationship with all of our campus chapters.
And Aaron, I know your experience at Purdue Normal puts you in front of the media a bit. So being active with a Normal chapter on campus can make the news, and it can also add some priceless media training.
Yeah, actually, I was interviewed a few times being the president of the Purdue chapter for our student newspaper. And like I said earlier, it just gets out the word. It educates people because, you know, you stimulate a person's thought with just one image of a marijuana leaf. You know, just one conversation with a person can lead them to think about decriminalization or legalization on down the line.
And Aaron, it sounds like this fall is a great time to start up a chapter.
Well, actually, any time is good. If you wanted to start up now, it would be a great time because other clubs are having call-outs. You know, people, especially new freshmen, are looking at things to join. But now would also be a good time because it gives you the whole semester. If you wanted to have other members join at the beginning of next semester, you can take your time this whole semester and write your constitution or, you know, just think of trying to recruit people. That's up to you. It's really, it can be as long or as short of a process as you'd like it to be. So it's just a fun thing to get started.
Also, next week, Keith Strupp is going on a four-campus tour through Florida. We'll have more about that on tomorrow's Audio Stash next week. But Aaron, Normal can put you in touch with speakers like Keith Strupp to come out to campus as well.
Right. I mean, we are open to campus tours at any time. All you have to do is ask us. You know, we are open to anything. We want to get out there. We want you to see us. We want to see you. So it's a win-win situation.
Aaron Dame is Normal's National Outreach Coordinator. Aaron, what's the best way for students interested in starting up a Normal campus chapter to contact you?
The easiest way to contact me would probably be by email. My email address is Aaron, E-R-I-N, at normal.org. Or you can always call me at 888-67-NORMAL and just ask for Aaron.
Aaron, thanks again for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
We have contact information for Aaron and links to most of Normal's campus chapters up on normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, let's visit with Normal's senior policy analyst, Paul Armentano, and bust some marijuana myths.
And sure enough, in the morning, some strange things began to happen in Willie's home. But outdoors, strange things were happening too.
Thanks for joining us here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash today to help clear the air about some of this rhetoric out there. Let's talk about this gateway rhetoric. I mean, is there any scientific evidence out there?
Well, I think first we have to define, you know, what is meant by a gateway. Certainly there are cases where adolescent marijuana use precedes later use of other controlled substances. However, that is not to say that the use of marijuana causes or is a sort of predictor that an individual will go on to use other drugs. We're well aware that many individuals first use alcohol and tobacco as intoxicants before they ever use marijuana, and it shouldn't be surprising that among the minority of individuals who have used intoxicants other than marijuana, alcohol, and tobacco, that some of them may have also used marijuana. That's simply representative of the fact that marijuana use is relatively prevalent in our society, while the use of other harder drugs still remains pretty much an anomaly in our society. But the reality is that for the overwhelming majority of Americans who experiment or use marijuana, it's actually a terminus rather than a gateway. And what I mean by that is the fact that if we're to look at government studies and other epidemiological data, the fact remains that most marijuana users, by time they hit their early to late 20s, actually voluntarily give up using the drug and never go on to use any other controlled substance later in life, including marijuana.
You know, many anti-marijuana advocates cite an addictive nature to pot, but compared to drugs that we understand the addictive physiology of, like tobacco and alcohol, I mean, is there any evidence of anyone having marijuana addictions comparable to tobacco or alcohol?
There's a couple ways to look at this. Interestingly enough, the Institute of Medicine in 1999, when they published their comprehensive report on marijuana and health, they looked at this specific question, and when they broke down what they were calling the dependence liability of certain drugs, including legal drugs like alcohol, tobacco, and illegal drugs like marijuana, cocaine, and heroin, what they found was that while marijuana did have what they called some mild dependence liability, it was much lower compared to most legal drugs and most illegal drugs. For example, they found that less than 10% of marijuana users ever exhibit any sort of symptoms of dependence as defined by the American Psychiatric Association. But by comparison, they found that 15% of alcohol users, 17% of cocaine users, and more than 30% of cigarette smokers statistically exhibit symptoms of drug dependence. The question really shouldn't be, is marijuana addictive, or does marijuana or cannabis hold some sort of addiction potential? The question really should be, how does it hold addiction potential relative to these other drugs? And the fact is, when marijuana is compared to these other drugs, its addiction potential is relatively mild.
Well, thanks for joining us here today, Paul. That was definitely a myth-busting interview. Thanks again. Today, let's get to some independent PodSafe music from Podshow.com. We have links to all the artists we play and to Podshow at normalaudio-.com.
such an unstoppable feeling. Sun, we're bound to shine, so put your hand in mine. Together as one, we'll be alright. I know that you'll say we're gone tomorrow, leave today. Yeah. Whoa, Susie Songbird. Susie Songbird. Susie Songbird.
Links to all the artists we play and a pod show right up at normalaudiostash.com. Let's round out our program today with one of our Garden of Wellness segments. This one is about healthy munchies. Welcome to the Garden of Wellness, our weekly segment about marijuana smokers' continued good health. This week we'll help you have a healthy munchie time. One of the inevitable, even sought-after effects of smoking marijuana is increased appetite. Different cannabinoids affect this appetite increase factor, and different strains of marijuana can have sometimes dramatic and instant effects on your stomach. And when there's a rumbly in your tumbly, almost anything can look tasty. Yet we must all be aware of America's expanding waistlines. So let's make sure that Häagen-Dazs is not a part of your daily food groups and that a box of sugary kids cereal doesn't serve as an early dinner. Let's get to our first helpful hint today. Preload your munchies. That's right, all health and nutrition experts will tell you not to go grocery shopping while you're hungry. So make sure you just don't wander in front of the fridge or pantry at 4:40, drooling for a snack. Lay out some healthy treats well beforehand. At 4:10 or abouts, pick out some snacks and set them out on a table away from the rest of the treats. Make preset munchies part of your smoking routine, and I guarantee you'll spend a lot less money on ice cream every week.
Then it must be very civil of you to offer it.
Now, what are our bodies really craving? Well, water, actually. Helpful hint number two today. The best way to help control a monster case of the munchies is to drink some nice, cool water. Most of us are not drinking enough water anyway, and introducing any amount of smoke across the palate diminishes our awareness of thirst. So it's especially important for smokers to keep their water levels up. This includes fresh fruit. A cool, refrigerated apple, orange, grapes, or melon can be just the ticket to feeding a munchy craving while supplying some good hydration as well. Our last helpful hint today, avoid junk food at all costs. It may seem obvious, but it's well worth pointing out. As regular marijuana smokers, we know that we will increase our appetite and get the munchies. Having a good buzz should not take away our good judgment about healthy foods. The deep-fried Twinkies sure taste good in the moment, but there is definitely no scientific evidence telling us how many years it will take to recover from the chemicals inside one of those. Personally, the goal of eating healthy has always been a challenge. But unlike tobacco, I feel that smoking marijuana enhances my palate. The crunchiness of a carrot or the burst of a strawberry smoothie seem most enjoyable around 4:40 p.m. This has been the Garden of Wellness here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Drink some water and eat healthy today, folks. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Paul Armentano, Aaron Dame, and Alan St. Pierre for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.